The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
All right, Craig, thank you. Crazy afternoon here on Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton. In about an hour, we're going to have our Friday afternoon open line last call. What's on your mind, we'll find out. At 6:05, we'll revisit our visit to Amsterdam. It is a Dave Congleton show, always your Hometown Radio talk show. This hour, a big County Board of Supervisors meeting coming up this week. And primary interest is the issue of the Danner Reserve Housing Project that has been proposed down in South County. We have talked about this before. We are revisiting it again. We start by welcoming back to this broadcast Herb Kandel. Herb, nice to see you.
Thanks. Good to see you, Dave. Thanks for having us.
Introduce Cesar for us.
So Cesar Vasquez is here today, and this is a 16-year-old student from New Tech High. And really, he has just come back from Sacramento, where he's been doing advocacy work. And we have a youth voice to help us, envision our future. And he's going to live the future of this project.
All right. We'll talk about that. Cesar, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you for having us.
Appreciate you coming in. So, Herb, let's remind folks, what's happening on Tuesday?
So, Tuesday is the Board of Supervisors meeting, which is a decision meeting. It could be the final decision, or it could be continued, could be denied. And we're hoping that it's sent back for review to the Planning Commission to look at our alternative plan. The Planning Commission meeting took place in October. They did recommend it to move forward for approval with an important condition that the community alternative plan, that the community coalition, which I'll speak to in a moment, would prepare a plan that would be on the table to be reviewed as one of the alternatives as they look at EIR alternatives.
Right.
And we're here to advocate for that option.
And without getting too deep in the weeds, we also should remind our listeners, what is the housing project that's been proposed?
Great. So there is a 288 parcel of property that's just on the north side of Napomo. When you're driving south, just before you get to the swap meet, you'll see this beautiful rolling open land, and then you'll see an oak woodland over there. And that's been known as the Kenyatta Reserve property. So the proposal for that property is the development of mixed-use housing, some commercial, to the tune of 1,470 units. It would be the largest project that we've seen. I've been involved with different developments, throughout the county, been in Napomo for 30 years. This would be the largest, certainly, in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
It's a game-changing, potential game-changer for Napomo in terms of the percent of population increase.
Is there a website we can send people to find out more information?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a couple of websites.
Give us one.
Okay, stopdannerreserve.com.
All right, so Cesar, how did you get involved in this?
So one of the people that I'm working with, Layla, she introduced me to this project just as really a new set of eyes, a new perspective. And I quickly felt that I needed to be very engaged and I needed to be very active.
Why?
This development, it would cause a precedent. It could either cause a positive precedent or a negative precedent where it will cause a series of effects that some might be irreversible. If the development were to be passed with Nick Tompkins' plan in mind, it would cause irreversible effects to my generation, my future. And I felt I needed to get involved and I needed to stop his development.
What's the worst thing that can happen if this is approved?
There's a series of worst things that could happen. You could look at the health effects. You could look at the housing effects. You could look at the effects it can have on other counties, on other developments. If this is passed, this basically allows every other county to see that they can go past different set of rules already made to stop developments like this from happening. The Oak Ordinance stops developments like this from happening because it stops the cutting down of trees. And the developer wants the County Board of Supervisors to overlook that. It wants it to not follow the rules. And if this development is passed, it basically gives permission to every other county to not follow the rules and, in my opinion, destroy our generation.
Comment on this, Herb. Is he right?
I think this development, it's there. You could use the word unprecedented in some ways, in that the number of, say, variations, violations, exemptions to the existing general plan amendment, general plan itself, are extensive in here in terms of first, habitat loss. We're talking about 3,000 trees that would be removed. We're talking about the Oak Ordinance that Cesar referenced. The Oak Ordinance very clearly, states that we're looking to protect on-site the integration of a habitat. And by taking down these trees and then using a hillside property that's under no threat as mitigation, it's a clear violation of the intent of the Oak Ordinance. The odd thing about that is that ordinance went into effect because of the damage that happened with the loss in North County when a wine grower took out thousands of oaks. Right? That's what put into place the Oak Ordinance. So it's beyond ironic. It's unprecedented that could be utilized, cited, or bypassed for a development that would take out that much habitat.
So then what is the main difference or differences between what Mr. Tompkins is proposing and what your group is proposing?
Right. So our Tompkins plan, let's start with the housing. I mean, first statement to make is that this is not about stopping development. This is not about stopping development, affordable housing. The other unprecedented thing I'll just mention is that the community coming together, coalitions of so many diverse folks have come together to stand up and say, yes, we want housing, and here's how it could fit in with the limits of our infrastructure. And yes, we want oak, protection and habitat. There's been a lot of self-education. So the developer's plan would produce, as I mentioned, 1,470 homes, and the community plan that was put forward would put in a total of 900 units, 100 of those being ADUs, which are accessory dwelling units.
So about roughly 500 fewer homes, roughly.
Roughly, right.
Yeah.
That's right, yep.
Mm-hmm. So 500 fewer homes. How many trees do you save with your plan?
So there will be at least half of the trees that would be less removed. But the important thing isn't the tree count. And the staff report that recently came out and the developer's study, which is kind of a hit piece on our alternative, focuses on tree count. And what's important about the design is that we're creating integral habitat, open space of 100 acres. Plants communicate, trees communicate. Animals need a multiple of trees, spaces around them. They need space between the housing, space between the forest. These are all put into the plan. The most expert biologists put this plan together as a foundational plan. That's in place in this way. We also made compromises and said, okay, here's where the building envelopes can go. And so we're looking at loss of trees within that building envelope, but an overall gain in terms of habitat.
All right, Cesar, what do you see as the difference between what Mr. Tompkins wants and what you're proposing?
Our map looks at the community and what the community needs. We are not, I want to set this clear, we are not against housing. We are for housing. We understand that Slo County needs housing, but we want to advocate for affordable housing and, most importantly, housing that will keep the habitat and environment intact. a lot of people have been looking at the Napomo community map and looking at us thinking that we don't want housing at all. And that is not the truth. That is not the fact. We do want housing. We understand that housing is needed. But we are looking at it in a way where my future and my generation still has a chance to live a healthy, livable life. And the Napomo community map does that. It gives us that chance.
We got plenty to cover here. And we'll welcome your phone calls after news at the bottom of the hour. Short break. We'll be back on the other side with Herb Kandel and Cesar Vasquez. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio. All right, just joining us, we're previewing a very important County Board of Supervisors meeting. It is so important. It's not just one day, it's 2 days. It's Tuesday and Wednesday. Primary focus is on the so-called Danner Reserve Housing Project. As Herb Kandel was explaining, this is being considered for the South County, but we all have a stake in this. Cesar Vasquez is also here. Cesar, I understand a rally is being organized.
Yes. I am in charge of planning that rally. We plan on being there, starting there at 11 a.m.
What day?
This is on the 23rd.
Is that Tuesday?
Yes, it is. Okay. It's really, as much as we wish we could have youth there both days, it's really unfortunate that the county decided to make these meetings happen during while youth are in school, while I'm supposed to be in school. But, you know, we got to do what we have to do, and I am in charge of putting that rally there.
All right, so you want people to show up Tuesday at 11 o'clock?
Yes.
For a rally?
Yes. Right. Please bring your friends, bring youth. Please speak up on your opinion on how this development should go. It's very important that we hear from the youth, the people who have to live through these effects.
Right. And Herb, any sense as to how the five supervisors are on the issue yet, or are they staying mum?
So, there we go. Yeah, so many of us have been meeting with the supervisors individually to get a sense. You never know until the last minute. The important thing is that, you know, we're conveying all the positive elements that are important to the supervisors. There's a lot of pressure on housing. And so, we're making that point really strong.
So yeah. How's this going to work on Tuesday and Wednesday? When should the public come?
Yeah, if you want to hear deliberation, then the presentation from the staff and the developer will happen in the morning on Tuesday. Then community public comment starts in the afternoon. And that will carry on into Wednesday if there's additional public comment. And deliberation then will be on Wednesday, and the decisions will happen at that point.
I'm assuming there's going to be a lot of public comment.
Yes. I mean, I think we're gearing up for that. That gets back to, you know, the unprecedented, I think, outpouring of feelings about this. I wouldn't mind mentioning like how we got here in
sure.
this way. Why is it this way? So I've been, involved with developments back in time and formerly on the South County Advisory Council. One of our three coalition members who are coming together is the South County Advisory Council, who unanimously voted, one abstain, to recommend the alternative map. They're kind of our elected body in Napomo, advising the supervisors. I'm a former council member there, and typically a developer will come to us with a concept. This happened with the Woodlands, which is now Trilogy.
Yeah.
It happened with Black Lake. It happened with Avila Estates. And then the community gives feedback and says, we like this part, we don't like that part, we get some shape and things like that. And then they come back. And this may be before they even put their application in. What came here for us was that SEAC did not get any of those preliminary concepts, did not get a visit until this plan, the application had already been in, till the map had been created. And the format of the map has not changed much with all the modifications. The habitat is still lost. The density is beyond what our infrastructure can support. And so that has created a lot of pushback that it was maybe unexpected. We've had several town hall meetings. There's been more people who've shown up in support of the map, in support of exploring these alternatives, than I've seen in any other project I've been involved in.
What does the staff say about the alternative proposal?
So the staff has been working very closely with the developer for four or five years. So they're very close knit. They put enormous amount of time and energy into it. They don't want to see this come back to their desks again. The staff or them, they're
so are
burdened.
They are they rejecting your proposal or are they not embracing it?
I would say not embracing is a good statement.
Okay.
And the staff report has recently come out. and we're going through that. It just came out yesterday. It's not a long time frame, but we're going through and looking at the different arguments. And the arguments that are most important for us are showing that the concept of habitat is protected in this map. Their criticism about our initial number of trees being lower, and gee, in the map that you provided, it's higher. You know, the important thing there is we provided a concept. You know, the community did a lot of heavy lifting here to come up with a concept map.
So do you think the staff is biased against your opposition?
Well, my personal opinion is that they're highly invested in the existing plan.
They've made up their mind.
I believe that's the case.
Yeah.
So we're going to be, you know, hopefully providing enough evidence for the supervisors to see that this is worthy of looking at the alternative concept.
Cesar, I respect your passion for the youth and your future, but just yesterday we did a whole show about how housing now, the median price in so many towns is over $1 million. Don't you want affordable housing in your future? Aren't you going to go thank Mr. Tompkins and say, thank you, Mr. Tompkins, for building all these homes and helping me be able to afford a home when I get my college degree?
Respectfully, I'm not going to be thanking Nick Tompkins if his plan is a reason that my kids and future generations of kids have health effects. If
What kind of health effects?
Well, just alone in the past 4 years, asthma rates have already gone up 100%. Trees are a vital protection to kids' health. It collects the dust, it releases the oxygen, it intakes the carbon. Trees are vital for our environment, and he is planning on taking down 3,000 trees, which is just an unbelievable amount of number. I will not be thanking him for giving my kids and the future generations.
But are they planting new trees?
His plan is to try to resolve this issue by planting new trees, but you don't need a PhD to understand that planting baby trees does not have the same effects as having already grown trees.
Yeah.
There are several points about that that are really important that you brought up. And the mitigation I referenced earlier is a primary mitigation is the purchase of a piece of property that has thousands of oak trees on it that are not at any way in any risk. There's no plan. Haven't been shown that there's a conservation easement holder. But the point is protecting lands that are actually not in the same watershed, they don't have the same soils, they don't have the same mix of habitat, that's another unprecedented violation moving forward that we don't want to see happen in other developments. So that's one element of it. The other element of the restoration is that the replanting of street trees, individual oak trees in front of houses, as opposed to having cluster the housing appropriately, and preserving the old growth forest with buffer so that the integral habitat is provided and is existing and has health. I mean, that's an issue there.
Has either one of you been able to meet with Nick Tompkins, express your concerns one-on-one?
No, he has been very unwilling to even have a discussion with us to come up with a compromise or anything.
Nope. I did meet with Nick, and we had a long conversation together earlier in the process before the Planning Commission. You know, it was a respectful meeting, and the issue is not personality. The issue is the map, is the plan, is the development, and you know, it is an unwillingness to work together and compromise. That is an accurate statement.
Herb, what is the website again for people to read more about?
StopDanareserve.com.
Perfect. Off we go. News, traffic, weather. We'll come back with my guests. Welcome your phone calls and keep the conversation going. You're listening to Hometown Radio. You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Just to give you a flavor of the conversation, on the Stahlberg text line, Colin is texting, hey, Colin, Nick Tompkins, Dana Reserve Plan, removes 3,000 mature oak trees. That is a non-starter and should be rejected. All right, so we've got Herb Kandel here, and we've got Cesar Vasquez here previewing the big County Board of Supervisors meeting. This is so big next week. It's Tuesday and Wednesday. Cesar, remind folks about your rally.
Yes, we will be having a rally from 11 a.m. until the meeting is over. If enough people turn up, we will be marching and really in support of the Napomo community map, trying to save our future.
All right. And then, Herb, remind folks also the agenda for Tuesday and Wednesday and how they can get involved.
All right. The morning will be a presentation by the staff and the developer. That would also be a good time to get in your comment slips if you're wanting to talk earlier in the day. Public comment starts at 1:30 in the afternoon, and it will continue through the day. And if there's enough, it'll go into Wednesday.
And people should email their county supervisors?
So this is the time to get out the letters, the emails to the supervisors, show up for public comment, speak your voice out. This is how you can make a difference, how you can protect habitat, how you can still create housing, and sort of counter the argument that this is either or. The people who are trying to promote this project are NIMBYs or they're just tree huggers. It's like we're stepping forward saying, you know, we're creating housing opportunities for like 534 single-family homes, 206 multifamily homes, you know, 800 homes total. We're increasing the ratio of mid-price homes in this project, the alternative that we're promoting.
Well, let me throw this at you on the Stolberg line. This is Mike checking in. Hey, Mike. He writes, per the county's data reserve agenda documents released this week, their alternative plan cuts down 2,448 trees, not the 430 as they have consistently claimed, builds 603 homes, not 800, reduces affordable units and affordability of the market rate units. Why would we support a project that is less affordable, removes more trees per home, and can never be developed?
Let's start with the claim that on the trees. This is a concept map that we brought forward. A concept map is an idea that goes back to the Planning Commission. It goes back to the staff. There is then a grading plan and a development plan that's brought into the concept. So then you can look at the contours. And what the staff did in their analysis of actually the developer's consultant, Altwood and Mead, was they took a concept map and they executed the shadows or transition areas and sort of took a literal bite out of, oh no, you're going to take out many more trees than you said. If we had 3 years and, you know, millions of dollars, certainly we would have done an engineering plan. We never intended to come forward with anything but a concept map. We've talked to experts, Wes Ariola, who helped us as one of the experts, and he says you can be certain that the numbers in that study will come down when you take into account the contours and make tweaks that we would make in a map. This is a flexible map that can change road locations and make minor changes to building envelopes that will reduce that tree count.
How many trees are you taking out?
So the concept map.
How many trees are you taking out with your alternative plan?
Yeah, it's going to be somewhere between 500 and 1,500.
All right, here's Eric.
That's still half the amount of the developer's plan.
Here's Eric on KVEC. Hi, Eric.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I just want to caution you because I've seen this happen. I've done a lot of land use within California and a lot in this county. And there's a very simple thing the developer can do. He can accept your plan. He can make it better by making 10% of it ultra-low housing. And then he can bypass the county altogether because the state says if you do that, you can add 50% to your building envelope. So he could actually take your plan and make it bigger than his. And the county can't do anything about it because the state has mandated if you do that, it takes it out of the county's hands. So I'd be careful what you wish for, because if it's a smart developer, you may be playing into his hands.
Right. So, what we hope for is that the supervisors will see that the concepts that have to do with reducing to a sustainable number of units that we have infrastructure for, that reducing and protecting habitat loss, that would be conditioned to go back to the staff, back to the developer, to come back with a plan that meets those regulations.
But that's, if he does that, if he does what I'm saying he could do, it takes it out of the county's hands, and the county no longer has a say so. And that's been going on all over this county for about 10 years, especially over the last five.
We'll look into go ahead, Eric.
No, so I'm just saying, you be careful what you wish for, because it could backfire on you. There are ways to mitigate what you're saying, and I've seen it done in North County over and over again, where you take a smaller building envelope, they basically just say, we're going to make 10% ultra-low housing, and they get a 50%, they can build 50% more houses mandated by the state of California. The county cannot stop them.
We shall investigate. Eric, thanks for bringing this to our attention. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832 if you want in on this conversation. So, Herb, what happens if you don't get the votes on the vote Tuesday or Wednesday that goes against you?
So there are options. There are legal options. We haven't committed to that. The opportunity of an appeal is there. But at this point, we're going to move forward with all, you know, the momentum of the community that's behind this to show up and make our case the best we can.
So, Cesar, if this goes through and you don't go to court or you lose in court and this is going to happen, are you going to stick around or you're heading out?
I'm sticking around no matter how long it takes.
But the health risks, you've outlined your personal health. Your health is at risk. Why wouldn't you just move away?
Because the way I see it, I've been involved with this world of activism for 3 years. I've led 3 marches. I have my own organization in Santa Maria. You can't just run away from the problem. I'd advise anyone listening to this to stand up for what's right and stand up against the development as proposed. And if I run away, I'm telling everyone else to run away, and I just won't do that. I'll try to protect my future and the future of my peers.
On the Stolberg text line, if caring for the environment is a concern, why did they not build in the open fields near their homes? There's a wide open field near the Hetrick homes, where they chose instead to build a similar-sized neighborhood in a dense area of trees near the freeway.
Great. Good question. So this property has originally was designed for mixed-use housing and commercial uses. I was involved with, you know, feeding back to the general plan for this particular property. And that envisioned, concentrating the development on the open, disturbed areas of grassland that are visible from the freeway that you can see. And, you know, this is another inconsistency with the general plan to basically, you know, clear-cut many areas of those oak woodlands, in addition to building on the grassland. Our plan focuses more on the concentrating development on those undisturbed areas.
Which plan gives us more affordable housing?
So the affordable housing, the numbers, we have the same numbers for the very low housing. So our plan has the still uses the 154 affordable housing that's in the unit. It has the cluster housing of, let's see, so we're looking at 229 single-family homes, 290 in the developer's plan. And in terms of multifamily, we have 112 multifamily compared to the developer's 383. What we did cut down somewhat is the luxury homes. There's 417 in the developer's plan. Those would be million-plus homes, generally going to be advertised to active seniors, so they'll probably bring in mostly folks from out of the area, maybe with cash, that sort of drive up the market rates for some of the other homes we see happening. So ADUs are also the same number between the two. So we're keeping the same very low numbers there in terms of the plan that's proposed.
So let's say the vote goes your way. Let's, for the sake of argument, 3-2 against the developer. So then what would happen? Would the developer have to come to you to work out a deal? Or we got Eric's scenario that he called in on. Where does this go?
So they, you know, basically the supervisors would be saying something like, there are, you know, we'd like to see some of the concepts in this plan studied further. We want to look at, you know, how you can incorporate protecting more trees and habitat, the open space. Look at some of these building envelopes. Take it back again to your grading and development plan, and then bring it back for consideration to the Planning Commission. So it's not going to be the concepts are what we're looking to explore. And again, that gets to, you know, their argument is going to be, you know, you've got a sketch that you've made with we had a lot of professionals that helped us. They're going to attack, you know, this sort of sketch frozen in time. Really, what would happen is the supervisor would say, you know, there's a lot of good points in here. And those points also include connections that we made in the neighborhood for walking to affordable neighborhoods, transition in the neighborhoods, transition between neighborhoods, a more livable community in terms of how this design took place. Stephanie Pincel wrote the book on sustainable and affordable housing in the state of California. She's UCLA founded the Sustainable Communities. She's looked at the map. She was a consultant on it. She says, this is visionary. This is where you would want to live or you'd want your kids to live. The developer's map as proposed, I've seen it all over California. It's not creative. It's dense. It's not somewhere that you're going to want to live.
All right. We'll come back for a final segue with my guest. And her the website again is?
StopDanareserve.com.
And we'll be back. I'm Dave Congleton. We're live. We're local. We're hometown. We're live, we're local, we're hometown. This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. We are previewing a very important County Board of Supervisors meeting. This meeting is so important, it's going to go Tuesday and likely Wednesday. Focus is on the Dana Reserve Housing Project, as Herb Kandel has explained, being proposed in the South County. Cesar Vasquez also here. Back on the phones we go. Greg is in Cayucas on KVEC. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Greg.
And your guests. I've got a couple of questions for Mr. Kandel. Herb, when Tuesday or Wednesday is the community alternative map going to be reviewed? Or it is going to be posted, I would imagine, for review at some point, is it not?
Yeah, thanks, Greg, for the question. So during the staff presentation on Tuesday morning, one of the sections is to look at the alternatives in the EIR and also the community-generated alternative. So that will come up. You could look, you know, in the staff report, you can see what they're going to say about it. But that's the time it's going to come up, Tuesday morning.
Okay. Okay.
And do you do the presentation to the staff?
That's a very good question. We did make a, you know, like think about it, you know, the staff and the developer get 3 hours, 2.5 hours to present their plan. We get 3-minute segments during public comment in which we'll chain together some of our group to give that presentation.
What else, Greg?
Well, just a comment here, you know. This seems to be this notion in development in a project like this is either all or nothing. It's either the developer gets his, you know, 1,400 homes or he takes his toys and walks away. And I think that there is time for a paradigm shift in California real estate development. Any project that starts out as a first step by clear-cutting 3,000 oak trees is ill-founded. And then from there, you can find other, you know, modifications that are sorely crying out for modification. It's just what I think what the group from Napomo is asking is that this project needs to go back for review to get community input, to let the environment get a chance to speak. That's all. We need to go back to the drawing board.
That's what you were saying earlier, Herb.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there has been a lot of dialogue in the community, a lot of workshopping, probably more than I've seen in my 30 years engaged in the community. And what came up was, you know, let's take the good elements that are in this plan and put it on a functional and good template that starts out by protecting those habitat areas and putting the development where it needs to be. So we left the existing commercial to encourage job creation. Our plan has less impact on the imbalance of job-to-housing ratio. We reduced the population growth of the project from 18 to 25%. is just more than our infrastructure can hold. And we're embracing development that would be 10 to 14% increase, which is still pretty large.
All right, Greg, thanks for the call. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Here's George on KVEC. Hi, George.
Hello, Dave. Hey, George. I'm going to sort of repeat myself, but my concern with all these development projects is that, you know, the state of California wants them, but they're not building the roads. And I can't build the roads. It's a state project. And I think those need to come first. I don't think we should accept a parking lot as a road before and allow these projects to get built.
There was a comment in the Planning Commission from one of the traffic studies that said that the traffic was going to get better, with this project in one of the areas, and we were all like shaking our heads at the Planning Commission. I mean, there was an audible laugh in the group. We're if you drive through New Palmo or there during school time or work time, you see how long you wait at the lights as it is. What needs to happen, though, in the planning is we're looking ahead to the priorities next year, which is an overall general plan update, which kind of steps us back and says, where do we want to build new roads? How are we going to make this functional? That's where a project like this needs to be part of a bigger picture. This project is an overwhelming impact to our traffic and circulation problem.
What else, George?
Well, I'm the guy in the middle because I have the development to the south of me and the development to the north of me, and I have to cross the highway. There is no overpass. So sometimes my wife waits for a half an hour to cross the highway, and it's extremely dangerous, and it's a consequence of development, but there's no mitigation happening from California.
George, always good to hear from you. Thanks for the call. All right, Cesar, what's happening Tuesday in terms of the rally?
Tuesday, there will be a rally at 11 a.m. Until the meeting is over. We hope to have as many youth as there as possible since they will be the ones affected by this project. We will be having youth speakers right outside on the Slow Government building, too. And if enough
Can adults come?
Yes.
Can we come hang out with you, too? Is it just for the
course,
kids?
Of course. Any support is very well appreciated, but we specifically want to hear from the youth since we're going to be the ones living through the development.
Do you think you're speaking for the youth? Do you think the young people agree with you?
I think that I have came from a position. Both of my parents are field workers. I have had to live through a lot of hardships, and I've also been involved with a lot of activism in the past 3 years. And of course, I can't say that I speak for all youth, but the youth that I have spoken to and heard from, they do not want to live in a future where their health is at risk because of a development.
On the Stolberg line, the number of homes for sale has not been as low as it is now for 30 years. And 30 years ago, there were 80 million fewer people in the U.S. Shouldn't we be increasing the number of units and not decreasing them, Herb?
Good question. So back to the idea about where does development go? I think that, there is need for affordable housing. There's need for mid-price housing. Our RENA numbers, the regional housing analysis or whatever from the state, shows where the needs are. New Palmo is willing, from my sense, to take its fair share of that housing that's needed. All of it can't be solved by this particular development because the impacts are too high. But there are many locations and areas in Old Town where the lot is empty, where the infrastructure is there, where the bus stop is right there. And that's where we want to direct some of this. We've just had two developments approved that are in that envelope. And our coalition showed up to support that. So we are not anti-housing.
And there are a variety of coalitions involved in this, aren't there?
Thank you. Yeah. So I mentioned the South County Advisory Council, whose decision supports the alternative. There is the New Palmo Action Committee, and they've gotten thousands of signatures and been, real leaders in setting up forums and providing education to the community. We've all kind of raised our own understanding about these issues. And then there's the New Palmo Oak Alliance, and that's a number of different organizations that has sister organizations like the California Native Plant Society, the Oak Federation, the California Wildlife Federation that has an Oak Division, Center for Biological Diversity, and the New Palmo Native Garden. So there's a number of people in the coalition there. And we also voted, I'm on that coalition, to really support housing, and that these are not two opposing options when the design is correct. And then the Central Coast Youth Alliance.
The Central Coast Student Coalition.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And that's what Cesar is involved with, and they've come and spoke on your show before.
One last time on the website, please.
StopDanareserve.com.
You expect the vote next week? You think the supervisors will vote one way or the other?
You know, a continuance of the item would be a success. A consideration of the alternative, the concepts in the alternative map would be a success. A final decision for the project, we would be disappointed.
All right. Our thanks to Herb Kendall and Cesar Vasquez for coming in. Cesar, final thoughts?
Let's work together to protect our future.
All right. Herb, about 20 seconds for a final thought.
Yeah, I think this is an unprecedented opportunity for the supervisors to see something that is very unique, that so many community members, coalitions, people of different ideologies have come together to support this concept. That means something. That should give pause for consideration of these concepts.
All right, gentlemen, thank you for your time. Appreciate it very much. Off we go. News, traffic, weather, what's on your mind. We'll find out. It's time for our Friday afternoon open line.
The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.